Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's great to be back, and we're blessed that we are given this opportunity to serve you all this past Sunday, Sunday school, and also a Bible study class, and also this worship. We're really happy that we're given this opportunity to serve you all. And yeah, like Rod said, it's actually been, I believe, a year and a half since our last visit, and yeah, our first one was still crawling, barely standing, and now she's bilingual and throwing a fit now. And our second one is crawling, just started crawling about a month ago, and making her very scared that he's now reaching everything that she thought she owned. But praise God that we got to be together once again. And also, I would like to take this opportunity to express my gratitude for you being partners with us in this project of reaching out to the unreached. I don't know how much Christine gave you the details, but there are many people who have not heard the word of God in their own heart language, and that is our passion. And we're so glad that you have decided to walk in hands with us to expand the kingdom in that area of the world. And so before we begin and go into the word of God, let us pray once again. Heavenly Father, we praise your name. Thank you for bringing each and every one of us here this day to your presence and giving us this honor to praise you and worship you together with our brothers and sisters in your Son. We would like to open our hearts to you. Please do so. Make that possible. Make us focus on you and onto your words. And please use this humble servant of yours as well for your glory. Yeah, through your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today's passage is from Mark 14:32-52. It's 21 verses, and let's see. Will somebody read this passage for me out loud? Yes, please. Thank you. Oh, what? Oh. Oh, okay. Oh, I did look at Debbie, but yeah, yes. Okay, okay. All right, Lewis, you're chosen. Okay. Mark chapter 14, verses 32-52.
Rest. took hold of him and arrested him. One of those who stood by drew his sword, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. Jesus said to him, to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a criminal to capture me? Every day I was among you, teaching in the temple, and you didn't arrest me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then they all deserted him and ran away. Now a certain young man wearing nothing but a linen cloth was following him. They caught hold of him, but they left the linen cloth behind and ran away.
Thank you, Luis. That was a long passage. And I'm glad I didn't choose an even longer passage. That was good for you. Well, so this is a very famous scene in the Bible. In the entire Bible, it's one of the most famous scenes, perhaps. And today, we'd like to look at this passage, 20 verses, so together, I believe, 21 verses. And if you don't remember, I would assume you don't, the last time I came here, I also preached from Mark. Even I almost forgot about that. But I looked back at my sermon notes, and I found that it was from Mark 2. And the last time I came, I mentioned that one of the biggest themes in Mark is discipleship or disciple training. And today's passage, not the exception, they talk about what the discipleship looks like. And this passage deals with this dramatic betrayal scene. And before we go deeper into this passage, there's one thing I would like you all to be reminded of and be conscious of, which is the fact that we need to know that we are limited beings. We have limitations. We have weaknesses. And therefore, we need to humble ourselves before seeing these, maybe I can say, bad examples of the disciples, and also humble once again before the perfect example of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we too will fail like the disciples and will continue to do so. And so the question of the day that I would like you to consider for yourselves is to ask yourselves, how much do you trust yourselves rather than the God, our Lord? So we'll look at this passage today from three different views, three different angles. One is about this issue of trust, or mistrust, maybe you can say it that way. And then the consequence that comes from these trustings that you have, whether it's on God or on yourselves. And then thirdly, I'd like to look into the examples being set by Jesus himself. And I'd like to make a contrast between the disciples and Jesus. So first thing that I would like to show is that what Mark wants to show in this passage, in today's passage, is that an utter disaster awaits if your trust is on yourselves rather than on God. The first point that I would like to touch on is the trust. And as I have mentioned earlier, one of the biggest themes in Mark is discipleship. It acts as a great cautionary tale as well, giving us examples which we shouldn't follow and which we should follow. In today's passage, the disciples fall asleep while Jesus is praying passionately. And they also run away from Jesus when he's being arrested. These disappointing acts of disciples shouldn't be too unfamiliar to us, as we too run away and fall short of what we should be as disciples of Christ. And it's not that there were no warning signs that led to this point in this passage where the disciples basically disgrace themselves before Jesus. I'd like to look at some context here. So the scene right before this Gethsemane is the Last Supper, which is maybe one of the most famous scenes that even non-Christians like in Japan would know as well. So please turn to chapter 14, verses 18 to 19 with me. Just right before today's passage. So Jesus told the disciples, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him, one after another, "Is it I?" from this passage, I think we can see that the disciples had no idea that they have this potential, this weakness to betray Jesus. It is true that, except for Judas, they did not betray him in a sense that they didn't sell Jesus to the authorities, but they still did abandon him and ran off, which you could see as a betrayal as well. And let's see another scene from the Last Supper as well, verses 29 to 31. So Peter said to Jesus, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same. So the disciples were not only unaware of their weaknesses, but they were also confident in themselves, which is on a different spectrum of being misled with what your trust should be. And on the other hand, though, our perfect example, Jesus, was completely obedient and relying on the Father, which is very interesting contrast that we can see here. Jesus trusted his Father, and despite of knowing that his disciples, whom he ate with, traveled with, slept together with as they traveled, and taught them throughout all these 3 years, would betray him and run off. And Jesus also knew that the Father will also curse him to bear the iniquities of men, which is the worst thing to happen for him. And yet he prayed, "Yea, not what I will, but what you will." Let's look at this passage a little more. So from 33 to 36, let me read that once more. "And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch.' And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.'" In fact, this is the second to last prayer of Jesus recorded in Mark. And the last prayer, another famous prayer, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That was the answer to that second to last prayer, wasn't it? In Gethsemane, Jesus prayed continuously, relying on his Father, trusting his sovereignty. His amazing humbleness is reflected in what he prayed. He said, "Remove this cup from me," the suffering that Father has for him. But interestingly, back in chapter 10 in Mark, James and John came up to Jesus and confidently said that they too can drink the cup that Jesus is about to drink. This is recorded in chapter 10, 35 to 45. This completely misplaced self-confidence shouldn't be too unfamiliar to us all. We do this all the time as well. And especially when we get good at something, we get more confident in ourselves and forget that our confidence should be in God. Most of us all, that if not all of us, have been raised by our parents, by people around us, being taught to have confidence in ourselves, don't we? You know, this spirit of trust yourself, you can do it kind of mentality. But in contrast to such social values that we are raised in, the Bible teaches that self-confidence amounts to nothing good, which brings up to the second point that I would like to touch on this passage, the consequence of the trust. The consequence or result, if you like, of having confidence and trusting yourself rather than God is the failure to stay awake, according to this passage. And what that means by stay awake, I would like to touch on that a little later in the sermon. You know, I personally believe that self-deprecation is not good, But self-confidence or self-reliance is not a concept taught in the Bible. Instead, what is actually taught in the Bible is this, the opposite concept, trust and rely on God alone. But we humans, unfortunately, have this tendency to rely on ourselves and have confidence in ourselves. Ever since Adam and Eve had confidence on their senses and trusted in the word of serpent over what God had commanded them. And this is a challenge that we face in church, outside of church, obviously, and us Christians, not exceptions. So what does stay awake, failing to stay awake, exactly mean in this passage? What's the meaning? What's the message here? This expression, being translated as stay awake, is a translation from the Greek verb gregoreo. And this word appears three times in this Gethsemane scene, in verse 34, verse 37, and verse 38. And it can also be translated as keep watch or be alert. ESV has it as simply as watch. And Jesus was indeed fully awake during this time in Gethsemane, while the disciples kept on falling asleep. So what does this mean? Gregorio, keep watch, stay awake, or be alert. What's the significance of this, failing to stay awake? Well, to answer this question, we need to look into the context of today's passage. Like a lot of theologians say, context is the king. And we unfortunately make the mistake of reading the Bible outside of context, and we interpret it in that misled way. I've heard of funny stories of, like, you probably all know, but you open the Bible to a random spot and you see, okay, this must be a message for me. So one person opened the Bible and then said, it read that the Judas went and hung himself. You flip the page a little more and it said, do the same. So it doesn't really work that way, but we tend to do that. But let's look at the context, the bigger picture here. You can find a clue to this answer. What does stay awake mean? In the previous chapter, chapter 13. In fact, these two chapters, 13 and 14, are linked with this word, gregoreo, stay awake. In chapter 13, Jesus used the parable of a doorkeeper to teach the disciples about the time when Jesus comes again, which we know as second coming. Let's look at verses 34 to 37 back in chapter 13. Allow me to read from here. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to you all, stay awake. And as you can see from verse 3 of chapter 13, this parable of the doorkeeper was told by Jesus to his disciples, specifically Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Although Andrew is missing, notice it was Peter, James, and John who were chosen by Jesus to go with him at the Gethsemane to pray. You can see this in chapter 14, verse 13. The doorkeeper is commanded three times to stay awake, or be on alert, if you like. And they were expected to stay awake whenever his master is back. From this parable, the underlying message of this verb, stay awake, seems to mean, within this context, be faithful to the mission of the master / Lord. And as you know it, the disciples who had great confidence in themselves could not stay awake not at all. And they were found falling asleep three times, which matches with three times warning in the parable. They could not stay faithful to the mission of their master, their Lord, Jesus. And on the other hand, Jesus was completely faithful to his Lord, in this case, his Father, faithful to his mission, even to his death. Another interesting observation you can see from this passage is the timeline parallel between chapter 13 and chapter 14. In chapter 13, 35, it reads, "In the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning." I just read that earlier. And if you take a look at the timeline of events in chapter 14, where Jesus gets arrested, the Last Supper, which happens right before the Gethsemane, is in the evening, and the prayer at the Gethsemane was at midnight, and the leader figure of the apostles, Peter, denying Jesus three times. That's also happening, along with the rooster crowing. And when Jesus was taken to Pilate, it was in the early morning, a perfect match with each timeline, with chapter 13 parable and chapter 14 events that happened. And in any of these time frames, the disciples could not stay awake and be faithful to their Lord. From today's passage, we see another result or consequence that comes from your misplaced trust, which is a great shame. And this issue of shame is a bigger deal for the Jews, unlike maybe most of us. When Judas and the mob showed up, the disciples ran away, abandoning him. And Mark portrays this vivid imagery at the very end of this passage, with this young man running away. If you look at verses 51 to 52 from today's passage, it reads, "And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body. And they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked." And this disciple's nakedness is very much symbolic of the shameful failure of the disciples and their unfaithfulness. There's also a great usage of irony here as well, with this young man's abandoning of his clothes. The disciples left the nets and family back in chapter 1 when they were called by Jesus to follow him. They also left everything to follow Jesus, as Peter proudly said back in chapter 10, verse 28. But here, ironically, this young man leaves everything and he runs off, away from Jesus. The disciples were, for these 3 years, learning to leave everything to be faithful disciple, but they, in this very important moment, disgraced themselves by leaving everything to become a non-disciple. On the other hand, Jesus was completely obedient, submitting to the Father. He was arrested, he was stripped naked, and was crucified, because it was his Father's will. Verses 48 to 49, "And Jesus said to them, 'Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day and day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but let the scriptures be fulfilled.'" So he didn't shame himself before the Father or before the people. He showed a perfect example as a faithful one to the Father, truly, completely trusting him in humility and prayer. And his words of instructions in verse 38 have to be taken seriously if you wish to be a servant, disciple of God. Verse 38, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So let us stay awake hearing these words of cautions from Jesus stay awake, not rely on ourselves, rely on our flesh, but rely completely on God alone and commit to this path of discipleship. As Jesus told Peter, James, and John in Gethsemane, temptation's everywhere for us. If we do not rely on God for his help and mercy, we can betray God like the disciples and be asleep like them and run away naked. The parable of doorkeeper in Mark 13 shows that this faithfulness is not just a one-time thing. It's a long process, long-term undertaking of obedience until the returning of the master, which we do not know when. So let's place our trust on God alone, stay awake to bring honor to him, whether it be in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning. Let us pray.